Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. What might God do in the life of a man who has more than one calling? How might that man serve society by providing leadership in global humanitarian crisis response operations? This is the story of Baker Flagg, a narrative that involves West Point, Harvard, and the battlefield. We pause to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Show is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus, so strong that he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, yes, but 3 days later he rose again from the grave, offering God's hope. This hope has been experienced by Baker Flagg. It's a hope that reaches out to you. Dear friend, would you turn to Jesus? Will you open your heart to Christ? That's our prayer. And my friend, if you already know the Lord, Baker, in our time together today, what he shares, I believe, it will lift you up. Baker Flagg is an experienced leader with 2 combat deployments as an Army officer, well-practiced in making strategic decisions, managing teams, building partner relationships, strategic analysis, operational planning, logistics planning, and crisis contingency management in high-stress, high-risk, and fluid environments. Baker graduated from the U.S. Military Academy and the Harvard Business School. Baker, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here today with you.
Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Frisco, Texas. It started out as a little town on the northern side of Dallas. And when we first moved out there, there was a couple of dirt roads. We used to ride dirt bikes in the neighborhood. We were one of the first houses there. And now it's, in fact, a couple of years ago, it was the fastest growing city in the U.S. And so over the last decade, just really seen that, really seen it expand and blow up.
What was it like growing up in Frisco?
It was, growing up in Dallas, growing up in Frisco was really wonderful. It was an excellent blend of like access to the city, and also it was still a little bit out in the country. So like I mentioned, we were able to ride, you know, ride dirt bikes and trail bikes in the neighborhood. And growing up in Dallas particularly, I was fortunate in that I had family all around me. I had one set of grandparents lived down the street. I saw them almost every day. The other set of grandparents lived only about 10 or 15 minutes away. And at the holidays, the major holidays of the year, they were always spent surrounded by family, cousins, aunts and uncles. And growing up in that environment with a sense of family that was so close was very important and very formative for me in my early years.
Your siblings.
So I have a younger sister named Haley, and growing up, we both developed a deep love for history, and reading. And for both of us, that manifested itself in slightly different ways. That led me to a fascination with military history, which led me to the Army. And for Haley, it led her to pursue an academic career, actually studying and doing research, and specifically Roman antiquities and, you know, Roman history. But so even though we took somewhat different paths, you know, we've always been really united by that shared interest and some might say obsession.
A little obsession may be good sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
Who would you say influenced you most, Baker, in those early years?
So my mother and father, hands down. From my father, I learned the virtue of diligence, or he taught me sought to teach me the virtue of diligence. And one of the mantras that he continuously impressed upon me was, opportunities often miss because it's disguised as hard work. And the idea of putting your mind on a goal and then working towards that and glorifying God in that. And then from my mother, I mentioned that my sister and I shared this love for history, and we got that from my mother. So my mother always loved reading. She was always fascinated by stories and history. And some of my earliest memories are of her telling us stories, stories from Texas history, stories from American history, and even stories from her family, you know, her family history. And so the diligence, the virtue of diligence and the importance of diligence from my father, and then the love of history from my mother was united in both of them in this sense of seeking to serve others using the talents and treasure that you've been given by God. And that being kind of the core of one of the core elements of our family ethos. And so those three things together had, growing up in that environment, had an incredible impact on me during those formative years.
You mentioned glorifying God as something your parents, both mom and dad, instilled in you. Take us on your spiritual journey. How did you come to faith in Christ?
Well, Danny, for years I was a little self-conscious because I thought I had a boring testimony. And what I mean by that is I accepted Christ when I was 6 years old, you know, in my parents' living room. And I was blessed to grow up in a strong Christian home, strong Christian family going back several generations. And I was steeped and rooted in that environment. And so I came to Christ at an early age. And it was not a Pauline, you know, it was not a Pauline conversion experience. There was no bright light. There was no coming to in a dark alleyway somewhere. And so for years, I felt self-conscious about that. I was like, I have, you know, my testimony is fairly boring. But what I've seen over the last years as God has continued to grow me and work on me is that there's a special beauty. You know, there's a beauty in that story just as there is in a dramatic story. And so the story of my spiritual growth has been a testament to God's mercy, a testament to God's mercy in the sense that he is bringing me into a closer relationship with himself and a greater knowledge of his identity and the facets of our relationship and the way that he has done that lovingly. And, you know, even though there wasn't that Pauline conversion experience like I was talking about, even so, I've seen how God has been drawing me closer to him through other experiences in my life.
You talk about the beauty of God working. Let's put the Pauline,
yes,
on the side for a moment. Mm-hmm. Describe some of the beauty.
So one of the most beautiful things over the last few years is growing up, and this dovetailed very nicely with my service in the military and my interest in the military. I had no trouble believing that God was just, that God was righteous, that he was holy, that he was the Lord of hosts. But I had difficulty believing that God was, truly believing that God was a loving father, that God was a kind father. And so that, in tandem with some natural perfectionist tendencies that I have, made me extremely self-conscious. And it also, I realized, was robbing me of much of the joy that is ours, you know, that is ours from the relationship that we have with God. And so really seeing over the last decade of my life, seeing the experiences that God has used to bring me to a better understanding of his love and the fact that he is our Abba Father has been beautiful.
the story of a person, the story of Baker Flag. There's a personal stamp on that story. Mm-hmm. We talk about a God with a love for all people, mm-hmm. and yet a stamp on Baker Flag. This is a reminder, Baker, I believe, of God's loving stamp on a listener today. Mm-hmm. And one might be thinking, well, I don't have that Pauline. I didn't get blinded. My beautiful blue eyes, like Baker Flag has these beautiful blue eyes, didn't get blinded.
Right.
But there's a beauty in God's attentiveness to you. My friend, when we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from Baker. He talks about his mother instilling, by example, by her elegant, gifted storytelling, a love for history. And yet his father's love and teaching instilling a love and drive of discipline. How did God use that for Baker to choose to join the army? Find out more about Baker at LinkedIn.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, famously beneath the barren sky.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
All right, LinkedIn.com/in/Baker Flag. That's Baker Flag with two G's. Baker Flag served in the Gray Wolf Brigade, 1st Cavalry Division, U.S. Army. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Program. Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for being with us today. This is a moment that God provides for such times as these. The Lord has a message for you. I strongly believe that. Baker, why did you choose to join the Army?
I chose to join the military because first and foremost, I felt called to it. And the way that God revealed that calling to me was, first, it was through my interest in history, in military history. I absolutely devoured every book that I could get my hands on when I was a kid about military history, about the Texas Rangers, about World War I and World War II. And I started thinking as I became older and started thinking about what I wanted to do when I grew up, that I wanted to be a part of that legacy that I was reading about. And that's one of the things that I also learned from my mother is it wasn't just that she enjoyed the act of imagining what was happening in the past. It's understanding what happened in the past allows you to see and appreciate your legacy. Like the stories that she would tell us about her family or, you know, Texans that had gone before, like your legacy as a Christian, your legacy as a member of the family, your legacy as the member of a profession. And so I felt this desire growing in me to be a part of the legacy of the U.S. military. And it's a beautiful God story. I was in, I believe it was the 6th or 7th grade. I was leaving our middle school library and the librarian stopped me and said, "Baker, I always see you leaving here with these military history books under your arm. Have you ever heard of West Point? And I said, no, I haven't. You know, what's that? And so she gave me a book on West Point, you know, the U.S. Military Academy. And her name is Mrs. Shalhoub. I'll never forget her. And I made it one chapter in. I shut the book. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, this is where I want to go. And it was such a blessing to see, and just such a great experience of, we know that God is directing our steps and shaping our lives, but to see him act in such a demonstrative way is wonderful. It's beautiful. And the fact that he gave me that clarity so early on enabled me to prepare myself mentally, physically, emotionally for joining the military and going to West Point and pursuing that. And perhaps more importantly, it gave my mother a few years to get emotionally and mentally prepared for that as well. And so that's ultimately what led me to the decision to go to West Point and then to serve in the military.
You must have talked about it repeatedly and in mm-hmm. different levels of texture with your parents. This became your dream. You began to see yourself mm-hmm. in the line, in that legacy line. What are some of your greatest treasures, Baker, about your service in the Army?
Greatest treasures from my service. I think one of them would have to be, and this is a moment. You know, these two things I'm going to talk about are moments in time. And one of them, we were in Afghanistan. This was my first deployment to Afghanistan. We were about a month in. I was a platoon leader. So I had a platoon of about 24 soldiers under me, and we had just returned from a convoy mission where we were escorting a convoy, and we had been hit by an ambush, or we had been ambushed on the road. And fortunately, none of our vehicles had been hit. There were multiple rocket-propelled grenades that were shot at us. A few machine guns opened up on us. They all missed. Nobody was injured. None of our vehicles were damaged. We were able to push through the ambush and continue our mission. And we returned to base, and I was getting down out of my truck, and I noticed that the rest of the platoon was starting to kind of gather around me. And one of my sergeants, one of my non-commissioned officers, asked me if I would pray for the platoon, because I had made it a habit of just privately and personally saying a prayer myself before each of our missions. And I would stand at the front of my truck and put my hand on the hood and pray for wisdom during the mission, pray for decision, pray for clarity of mind, and also above all for safety for us. And my soldiers, I guess, had noticed that and knew that I was a believer, you know, knew that I was a Christian. And so after that experience, they wanted a way to say thank you, you know, say thank you to, you know, and not all, and few of them were Christians, but they wanted a way to, they had a sense that something had protected them, you know, that something had protected us on that mission, and they wanted a way of acknowledging that. And so we all gathered around, and I said a prayer of thanksgiving for our safe return. And before every mission from then on, the whole platoon, we would gather together, link arms, and recite the Lord's Prayer. And that was the last thing that we would do before we, you know, after I gave the mission briefing, we would say the prayer, and then we would get on our trucks and leave. And so having that moment and seeing how God can use us as witnesses in those types of situations was heartwarming, exhilarating, and humbling, because it made me realize, as Christians, and especially as Christians in leadership positions, you know, we are being watched. Like, you are being scrutinized. And while that's a challenge, it's also an incredible opportunity to amplify your witness and your testimony. And so that's one of the most beautiful memories that I have from my time in the military. And I'd say the second one is somewhat similar. This was my second deployment. We were in Syria, and my, not to go into too much detail, but we were in an area where we were trying to maintain or prevent conflict, armed conflict, from breaking out between multiple different groups, you know, different sects and different groups that would have distracted attention away from the fighting against ISIS, you know, in the town of Raqqa. And so this involved us having to kind of insert ourselves between some of these warring factions or antagonistic factions, and it led to sometimes we would get caught in the crossfire. And I remember one night one of my patrols came back to the base after getting caught in one of those situations, and we had to manage the situation, get them back, get everything under control. And the platoon sergeant, who was a veteran of multiple deployments, an incredibly competent soldier that I still have an incredible amount of respect for, Sergeant First Class Connolly, he came to me and said, "Sir, when we heard your voice on the radio, we knew that everything was going to be all right." And hearing that evidence of the bond and the trust that we had developed as a unit, and also seeing the example or the way that God was working in their lives, you know, in that specific crisis situation, you know, through me, was another truly humbling experience. And so those are two of the most beautiful experiences that I have from my time in the military.
Indelible impressions.
Yes.
Beautiful impressions. Why did you leave the Army?
That's a question that I struggled with for several years. And ultimately, and I want to make it clear that I loved every bit of the 8 years that I spent in the Army. It gave me relationships that I'll treasure for the rest of my life. So many clear. I shared two stories just now, but they're, I mean, we could be here for hours talking about other stories where God clearly reached down and redirected rockets or caused, you know, fuses to malfunction that prevented me and my soldiers from being harmed. And so I will treasure, you know, I will absolutely treasure all those experiences. The reason that I left is just the way the Army kind of rank progression and position progression works is after your first 8 years, you transition from predominantly leading soldiers directly as like a platoon leader, company commander, to more staff roles. And I looked at that, and God was, you know, like I said before, I felt that God was calling me to join the military. I felt that strong calling. I began to feel a strong calling that God was calling me to leave the military. And really it was the several elements, but I'll highlight two of them. One was that personal direct leadership element. I'd come to see that that was an incredibly important and fulfilling thing for me. And I saw that I would not have as many opportunities to do that over the next 10 to 15 years of my career in the military. And adding to that some of the hygiene factors of being in the military, long hours, deployments, what have you, God began to make me think about pursuing leadership outside of the military, specifically by going to business school. The other element, the other major element for me was raising a family. You know, I wanted to get married and raise children. And I wanted to be the type of father that my father was to me and my sister, and the type of husband that he was to my mother. And I realized that I would not be able to be both the type of officer that I wanted to be and the type of father that I wanted to be. And that also contributed to my decision that, okay, God is calling me to something else. God is calling me to leave the military and pursue, at that time it was this broad idea of leadership in the civilian sector and seeking impact as a leader in the civilian sector.
There's a clarity that you speak with, which I suppose comes from reflection, someone listening today may admire the level of clarity that you have. Of course, clarity comes through a process, and a process is necessary, but there is encouragement in that because you have taken steps. There are so many questions that we'll get to some of them, but I think the word of hope comes from the fact that God has been guiding you along the way, and you're listening for his voice, and you're taking steps of faith. You're listening to Baker Flag. You can find out more about Blake Baker at LinkedIn/in/Baker Flag. When we come back, you're going to hear more. Baker was personally recruited by GE Healthcare CEO Larry Culp into GE's accelerated leadership program called XLP for managers. At Harvard Business School, he was a section president, a member of the Student Association Strategy Committee, the Dean's Award Committee, the Outdoor Club co-president, and Healthcare Investment General Management and Christian Fellowship Club member, Baker Flagg. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, famously beneath the barren sky.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Evangelism can be likened to an exquisite pearl necklace. In order for the necklace to be complete, each pearl is carefully strung on, one at a time. Only after the last pearl is strung will the clasp be attached. Most people are convinced that the apex of evangelism is in being that figurative clasp, leading someone to trust Christ. In reality, there would be no need for a clasp without any pearls being strung. Which is more important, the pearls or the clasp? They all are. Not everyone can be a clasp all the time, but in evangelism, you can always be a precious pearl.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life
today.
So
when I talk with leaders, and they are rare when you see a leader and are able to be with one, and we're with one today. His name is Baker Flagg. It makes me wonder how long it took for them to discover this gift that God has bestowed on them. Baker Flagg, when did you discover that God had imparted upon you gifts of leadership?
I think that I started to have a suspicion in middle school and high school, really, and mainly in high school. It's when I started playing. I played football. You know, football is king down in Texas. And I started noticing that my...
What position did you play?
So I played center. Yeah, I played on the offensive line. I wanted to be a fullback when I was a little kid, but so did everybody else. And I remember I got a great bit of advice from one of my friend's dads. And he said, if you want to play, play on the offensive line if you want playing time. And so I took that advice, and I am so glad that I did. Absolutely loved it. But during that time, in those situations and in those environments where you're with your peers and there's physical adversity, people are, you know, people's emotions are running hot, and there's tension, there's challenge. I came to see that, or I was noticing that people were listening to me, or people were following me, and people cared what I thought and listened to what I was saying and how I was thinking about things. And I had always felt this desire to be a leader, really from my reading of military history, because you read about great military leaders, you know, people that were able to be so impactful in the lives of others around them, you know, their soldiers, the citizens of their countries or kingdoms. And so starting off, like I did have this desire and interest in seeing if I could be a leader because of that reading and also this sense that God had given me that this may be a way for me to have an impact. And like I mentioned before, both of my parents instilled in us that you search out what your gifts and what your talents are, and then you leverage those for the good of God's kingdom and his people. And so in high school, as I started to kind of see that, see the way that that was impacting my classmates and my friends and the guys on my team, that's when I started to see that, okay, God is confirming that he has given me some gifts, you know, some gifts in this respect. And that just confirmed my desire to go to the military. And then at West Point, I mean, you can't find a better school for leadership development than the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. And so that was just like an incredible accelerant to that learning and growth and development process.
Give someone, give me, give our listener a glimpse behind the curtain as to why you say that, Baker, a leadership accelerant.
I'd say that, well, one thing that West Point does an incredible job of is instilling in every single, you know, inculcating in every single cadet that you are going to be a leader. Like, you are going to be a leader. You are going to have soldiers' lives dependent on your decisions. And so you're immediately confronted with the reality and the weight of that, and also the inevitability of it. Like, if you graduate, you will lead soldiers. And so there's a wonderful focusing element to that, you know, knowing that this is something that is going to happen and that it is serious and that it is weighty. But they also accompany that with this, I'm going back to the legacy, you know, the legacy concept, by accompanying that with this sense of the legacy that you are joining, the legacy of skilled leaders that you are joining by going through the process of studying at West Point, learning to become an officer, and also focusing so intently on every aspect, on all the different aspects of leadership, the technical aspects, the interpersonal aspects, and giving you so many reps at leadership execution, like acting as a leader during your time at West Point, everything from how are you going to organize your classmates to deliver laundry to the upperclassmen? How are you going to lead a team of cadets during a summer training exercise? And so, to recap, they give you a sense of where you're going, that it's going to happen, and that you are going to be in a position to have an incredible impact on people's lives. And then they say, but we are going to intensively prepare you for that as well. And we are going to stretch you and challenge you and put you through, it may be cliche to say this, but a crucible experience during those 4 years, and that we will do all that we can to refine you so that you are ready to take on that mantle. And I could talk about this for hours, you know, just like the military experiences, but the combination of that kind of normalization of the idea that you will be a leader and you will have this impact, and then the we are going to test you and help you learn to be a leader, is, I believe, it's incredibly effective.
So here you are now part of, we're talking legacy. Your mother and father instilled this in you, the family legacy. You're reading these books now, but you're also part of the long gray line. How does that comport with your second calling and the open door at Harvard Business School?
I'd say that the way that that comports with what I'm doing now is, and this is something that I'm still working out to a certain extent. And if I step back a little bit, that was one of my big concerns about leaving the military, is that sense of legacy and impact and significance. It's like, you know, being a platoon leader, being a company commander, like everything you do, you can directly link it to an impact that you're having. And having never experienced the civilian world, I was really concerned that leaving that, I was going to feel an absence, that I was not going to feel that same sense of impact and significance to the same degree. What I found, on the other hand, is the legacy. You know, I'm in the healthcare industry now, and broadly speaking, there's an incredible amount. You look at industries, and it's hard to argue that the healthcare industry does not have an incredible impact on people's lives. Like General Electric, you know, healthcare, the company that I work for, one of the biggest medical device manufacturers in the world, what you're doing and what you're making impacts people's quality of life, survival even. And so the idea of that legacy, and I'll specifically tie this to GE, you know, a company that's over 130 years old, there's an incredible amount of legacy at General Electric. And so finding that and tapping into that has been very helpful for me. Also, Harvard Business School, looking at the legacy of graduates that have come out of there and had an impact on the world around them. And other communities at Harvard Business School, like the Christian Fellowship Club, you know, like you mentioned, I was a part of that for 4 years. And really, you ask the question, like, how does the legacy of the military and the Long Gray Line comport to what I'm doing now? And it's really finding and connecting with communities and legacies, you know, in the civilian world. And that's one of the ways that God has really blessed me over the last few years, is connecting me with communities like GE, like Harvard Business School, that have such impactful and beautiful legacies.
A peek behind another curtain. Someone today might be thinking, I always wanted to know what goes on at HBS or Harvard Business School. A glimpse, Baker Flagg, a glimpse.
So I'll say that what attracted me to Harvard Business School, and you know, Harvard was my number one choice to go to an MBA program, and it was really the case method. And the case method is essentially you're given a business situation, like a situation report that you read, and it's usually structured where there's a protagonist, you know, a CEO or a marketing director or a doctor who's faced with this challenging business decision, and you read all the background information and all the context, and then you go to class and you discuss, well, what should we do now? You know, if I were in the position of that protagonist, what should I do now? And I loved that approach to learning, because as, you know, a veteran coming in who had no experience of business whatsoever, it enabled me to still engage with the discussion, even though I didn't have a technical background in finance or marketing or operations or manufacturing or anything like that. And I also loved the fact that, going back to the idea of leadership and having an impact and tying back to what was so effective about West Point and the idea that, you know, inculcating in everyone that you will be a leader and you will have to make these decisions, I saw that connecting, or I saw that mirrored in the case method, where it's saying you will be in this position. You may be in this position in the future. You will have to make this type of a decision. And the fact that everyone was being oriented to think in that mode rather than just thinking, how do I effectively complete this balance sheet? It's, how do I complete the balance sheet, and then what do I do with the numbers? Like, what decisions do I make based on the numbers that are contained therein? And so I think that that's the, you know, to borrow the colloquialism, the secret sauce that HBS has, and that focus on what would you do? What actions would you take as a business leader? And then teaching all the technical aspects through that and in the context of those big action-oriented decisions.
A marvelous and time-tested pedagogy. Mm-hmm. At Harvard Business School, and Baker is able to attest of what he experienced, the tie-in with his experiences at West Point, and the outflow of the work and the quality of leadership that he is able to provide today. When we come back in our final segment, Challenges, yes. How has the Lord helped him through? A time of prayer. Baker Flagg was a troop commander, 6th Squadron, 9th United States Cavalry Regiment. He led 80 soldiers and 16 armored fighting vehicles during simulated and combat reconnaissance operations. You're going to hear more from him in this, our final segment, when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the bare.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of the Spirit of Christ, guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Baker Flagg conducted reconnaissance operations in Syria, gathering information that impacted diplomatic and operational decisions made during the U.S.-led coalition's successful campaign against ISIS in Raqqa. You can find out more about Baker Flagg at LinkedIn /in/ Baker Flagg. That's Flagg with 2 G's. Before our break, he was explaining, giving us a peek behind the curtain at Harvard Business School and West Point. Baker, your work at GE Healthcare, what is most fulfilling to you, or may I say life-giving to you in that work?
So I'd say what's most life-giving to me, and I'll preface this by saying that I'm still, in a sense, figuring out what I want to do when I grow up, you know, as a civilian. And GE is a fantastic place to learn because, like I was saying before, the reach is global, the impact is global, and it's profound. And the fact that I am able to contribute to the mission that they have and the impact that they have is very fulfilling. And I'd say that I'm still growing and developing as a civilian business leader. And so up until now, I've been more of an individual contributor at GE. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunities to, you know, as I grow into a leadership position there, to have a personal impact on the people that work for me, that work with me, and then the direction that the company goes, and be a part of not just the legacy, but the mission and the impact that we're having globally. And so that, just to recap, go back to what I said before, the global scope and the profound impact that that has individually on people's lives is what I find most fulfilling about working at GE.
So you're impacting people's lives mm-hmm. through GE Healthcare. But in GE Healthcare, you are working with people and leading people, which is something that you mm-hmm. longed really in a way to hold on to.
Yes.
As part of a calling, part of the gifting that God has given you. In leading people, there are times in life when things go awry. Mm. We're landing a little bit here on a personal level, mm-hmm. but it translates, I think, to people in general, our listener even. Going through tough times, unexpected surprises. How has the Lord helped you, Baker Flag, through difficult moments?
The Lord has helped me through some difficult moments by, through a variety of ways, but one of the ways has been bringing people into my life or using people that are in my life that I have relationships with to speak truth, to speak truth to me, to speak encouragement to me, to give me focus and clarity. Another way is just giving me peace in situations. Like specifically, I'm thinking about the deployments to Afghanistan and Syria. And one thing that I became aware of, that one of the blessings of a relationship with God is, you know, we know in Joshua 1:9 it says, "Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I personally experienced that in Afghanistan and Syria. You know, I noticed that I was not experiencing a similar amount of trepidation as others were. And it was not because that I'm brave or that I was braver than anybody else. It was clearly and demonstratively because of peace that God was pouring into me. And so that enabled me to maintain my kind of emotional and mental endurance during some challenging situations there. And in fact, unfortunately, this individual is viewed as somewhat problematic today, but General Stonewall Jackson, who, you know, he fought for the Confederacy, and so that's why he's viewed in more of a problematic light, but he had a quote that said he was a devout Christian, and he said, "My religious belief leads me to feel as safe in battle as in bed." And experiencing that in the Army, in Afghanistan and Syria, had a profound impact on me. Another way that God has helped me through some rough times, and this is more recently, when, you know, I faced disappointments or professional or personal disappointments, and I have been stuck in a, because one thing that I struggle with is I do struggle with depression and depressive thoughts and feelings of inadequacy, you know, that disappointments are a result of my failure and not being good enough, not trying hard enough, not working smart enough. In those situations, when God has brought me to my knees through those experiences and through those disappointments, it's always been so that he can pick me up and then put me in his lap and show me that he is Abba Father. And going back to what I was mentioning earlier on in the show, that's an aspect of God's relationship with me that I've had a hard time really believing, you know, for most of my life. And he's been working on that for me, just the fact that he is a loving, good, kind Father. As it says in Psalms, he's righteous in all his deeds and he's kind in all his works. And so God getting me through rough times, not just by giving me courage or speaking to my intellect or speaking through others to me, but by just loving me. And I know that may sound trite, you know, trite and simplistic, but just an outpouring of fatherly love from God has been an incredible sustaining source of sustainment for me in some real challenges that I've gone through over the last few years.
Baker, first of all, thank you. Thank you for digging deep and sharing, for being vulnerable. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful visual that I see. The Lord wrapping his arms and cradling you mm-hmm. on his lap.
And that was hard for me to accept as first, as a, you know, I'm a big tough Army man. You know, I don't need to be cuddled in anybody's lap. but
a prayer. Will you pray for someone today? Maybe a big burly man, maybe a strong woman even,
mm-hmm.
who in the private moment understands depression,
mm-hmm.
understands weakness, understands fear. But they need to be wrapped
mm-hmm.
and curl up on Daddy's lap. A prayer, Baker,
yes.
please.
Father God, thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for Dr. Danny and the work that he does, his ministry, his heart for you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for any of my brothers and sisters that are out there that are trying to do this alone or trying to muscle their way through life or feeling like they're not good enough, they don't measure up, that you would just wrap your arms around them and help them to understand that you are Abba Father, that you are kind in all your deeds, righteous in all your deeds, and kind in all your works, and that you love them for who they are, not what they do, that before the creation of the world, you knew them, and you loved them, and you knew that you would bring them to you, and that they would have the peace that nothing that they can do can take away that love from them, or can take away that love that you have from them, Lord. And that no matter what they're going through, that would convey the full amount of grace and peace and joy, you know, that you've promised us, you know, that you have promised us. And Lord, I pray that for all my brothers and sisters out there that are struggling with this and struggling with depression. And also with that you would give them the courage to speak up and speak out and to open up and be vulnerable to others. And that you would provide them with loving friends and family and counselors and pastors and other brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside them and show them your love and be instruments of your love through them, Lord. Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we ask that all we do say and think would glorify you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful words in a timely manner in this divine appointment. Dear one, the Lord loves you and knows you. He sends Baker today to remind you and me, us, of that. Baker, thank you.
Well, thank you, Danny. This was a treat and a privilege, and just so thankful for what you're doing and the impact and the witness that you're having.
Baker Flag, LinkedIn /in/Baker Flag. My friend, God's timing is perfect. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this, I believe, is maybe the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus. Go to drdanny.live for more resources. To join our prayer team or partner with us financially, again, drdanny.live, and I thank you in advance. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Baker Flag. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Sheena Kusumoto, social media director, Luke Yamashiro, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.